How many of you, when you were growing up, got an allowance from your parents? At least some kind. I had very minimal one, but every penny was precious, and I mean that literally. My mom worked part-time as a waitress, and she'd get, now this was the 1960s, so typically whatever tip she got was primarily coins. Especially because it was just this little breakfast place, and breakfast even today, relative to other meals, is the cheapest one at most restaurants. So she would serve breakfast, and she'd get whatever coins they would have. And so me and, my brother and I had this arrangement with my mom that she initiated. She said, whatever pennies I get from tips, you can have, and you split between them. So we had this allowance of pennies. And so we saved up those pennies, and then we stuffed them in our pockets when there was enough, ride our bikes 2 miles to the local little store, and buy whatever baseball cards they had there that we could afford. And then ride our bikes back. And that was our tradition growing up as boys and as baseball fans, having some kind of an allowance from my parents. Well, once upon a time, there was this little boy who always seemed to have a lot of money. And what happened was, his father grew up in such an impoverished situation where he had nothing, and he knew he had nothing, and it bothered him. So he decided in his heart and mind, when he grows up, he's going to work really hard, he's going to get a great job, and if he's ever blessed to have children, he's going to make sure they have money. So from the time, and indeed, he worked hard, he got a great job, he had a lot of money, and he gave those kids an allowance, lots of allowance, from even before they knew what money was really all for and all about. He gave them money. And he did one other thing as they grew a little bit older. He would give them money for good grades. He would give them money for doing nice things. He would give them money for taking out the trash and doing their chores. And the kids growing up loved it because they had lots of friends. And wow, that guy's always got money. This is great. He's a good friend to be around. But unfortunately, this father felt that by giving his children enough money to have and always have something in their pockets, that was enough. That was a substitute for the more important aspects of being a father, of showing love, of guiding them in the deeper things, in the things that money literally cannot buy. And when that boy grew up, he still had plenty of money, but he had also a very sad heart because he had a father that he wasn't sure really loved him. He took care of him, but he didn't want his dad's money anymore. He wanted his dad's attention. He wanted his dad's focus. He wanted his dad's hugs and love and laughter. That's what he longed for growing up, and the money, no matter how much he was given, could never buy that. Because the truest reward from the Father is not money, and it's not things that money can buy. The truest reward from a father is indeed that love that hopefully as parents we agree that that's what our main goal is to instill into our children good qualities and to show them love and to give them correction and to put them on a path of expressing compassion to other people and to give of ourselves when we have the means to give, to help those who are less fortunate than we are. And as we do that, we commend our children. We say, that's good that you did that. Do you see why that's important? And we give them a pat on the back and let them know that that's good. And as children, we learn that the things that please mom and dad, and we learn to do those things more often. But we don't do it just because it makes mom and dad happy. What mom and dad want, and I think all parents want in our kids, is not just that they are doing what we ask them or doing what we think is right, but that the things that they're expressing in their lives by walking the path of love is good for everybody. It's good for the relationship between the parents. It's good for the relationship and siblings and the whole family unit. It's good for how they treat their friends. It's good for how they approach school. It's good for how they approach work when they are old enough to take on a job. It's good for how they connect with their community. So it's not just that we carry out these things for God and the ways of God and the ways of love so that we get a pat on the back from heaven. It is so the world works better when the world is run God's way. And I hope we'll see this morning as we begin this sixth chapter that this is what Christ is getting at. He starts off by talking about be careful not to practice your righteousness. So it's how we carry out the things that He's been talking about. It's now how you live. A lot of it before was a heart issue. Now it's out here. It's in your words. It's in your hands. It's in your actions each day. And what I want to see what I hope you see this morning is how to be a humble giver is where he begins. Now, in one sense, at the start of this chapter, he's looking at kind of the larger issue of your practice of your righteousness. And he's going to get specific then in three different areas as we go forward for the next few weeks. Giving, prayer, and fasting. So as a giver then, what he wants us to do first of all is pay attention to your motivation. Verse 1 says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Those first two words are key. Be careful. Pay attention. The Word of God also tells us to guard your heart. That's the same essence, the same tone. It is to realize what it is you're doing and why you are doing it. So we have to be honest with ourselves. Be careful. In the terms of giving, why do we give? Really? Am I giving out of a sense of just obligation because I am supposed to? Am I giving because that I'm going to get a tax break at the end of the year? They're going to take record of this wherever I give and I'll get this little receipt so I don't have to pay the government quite as much? Am I giving and I make a show of it, or somehow do it in such a way that others notice that I'm giving so they think better of me? And this is what Jesus is getting at, is to be careful that you're not practicing this to be seen by others, because then what you're doing is you are being people-pleasing. When a person is giving or doing any act of righteousness for that reason, to pay attention to what others think of them or what they might be thinking, it's really replacing God with self. I want to be thought of better by others, so I'm going to give more because if I do this, in whatever area of giving, this specific context, Christ is talking about giving to the needy. There are other contexts, and we'll touch on one of those in a moment, where he's mentioning something we would think more of as offerings, like we just participated in a few moments ago. But whatever the context of the giving, and whatever area in your lives you are giving, we need to ask ourselves, are we trying to please others, or are we trying to please God? And if we are just pleasing people, then there really is no reward from our Father, and we're not pleasing God. And so, again, that's what we have to ask ourselves. First of all, this morning, are you paying attention to your motivation? And then the second verse, the gift is not about the giver. He says there, so then, when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. First of all, there is an assumption on Christ's part that you are giving. And certainly to the audience that he was speaking this message to, the Sermon on the Mount on the side of the hill where there was apparently a fairly large group of people. And so among all of them, he's assuming, yeah, you're giving people. So when you do it, here's the attitude you need to bring to it. And so giving needs to be part of our lives, but sort of similar to what he focused on in the fifth chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. It's not just the action, it is the heart behind the action that Christ is pushing here toward. To the needy. And I mentioned a moment ago that that same attitude should come through in all of our giving. In Mark chapter, I was going to print that one out, I didn't. I'll look it up. Mark chapter 12. We have, I think it'll be a familiar episode in the Gospels to most of us, verses 41 to 44. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were being put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So Christ is, in that situation, pointing to something more similar to the offerings that we practice as part of our tradition here. But it was the same idea. We are giving to the work of God in this world. And that's what they were doing as well at the temple. And there were other situations where it was specifically for the poor or whatever else it might be. But the overarching attitude, whether it is giving to the poor, giving to local organizations such as the Pleasant Valley Ecumenical Network or the Pregnancy Resource Center or to Twin Pines or whatever the ministry might be, whatever the need might be. Maybe you're someone that sees the beggars out here at Giant and you're pulled over and you give them something. That's up to you. I'm not going to shoot that down. I know there's a whole lot of issues and controversy about that. And sadly, one of those people got killed the other week at the corner there, just by being run over by a truck. So, but how, wherever you're giving, what attitude are you bringing to it? The trumpets that Christ mentions here, I learned a lot about this in preparation for today. There was something that I remember from prior study where some scholars would say that there was people that would give that would hire a trumpet band, basically, to announce that they were going to make big offerings. But the deeper research said that there wasn't a lot of evidence for that that interpretation among the earliest scholars, and among Jewish scholars, certainly. So that may or may not have happened, where they would, you know, pronounce and make a big parade about their giving. But the one that was interesting that one of the expositors' commentary that I have on my shelf in the office brought this out very well. When there was a period of fasting, and they would call a period of fasting, and fasting happened for a variety of reasons. One of those reasons might have been there was a famine going on. It hadn't rained in a while, so they would fast and pray and ask God to send rain. So when it was time for a fast, for whatever purpose, there would be trumpets played in a particular way that everyone knew that a fast had begun. And associated and connected with that fast was also a time of prayer and then an opportunity to give to the needy. Now, when you take those three things together, that's exactly what Jesus is addressing here in the early verses of chapter 6 of Matthew. He's talking about, first of all, giving to the needy, then he's talking about prayer, then he's talking about fasting. So there's some evidence, and we're not 100% sure of this, but one of the possibilities is that the trumpets Christ was referring to is the trumpets blasted for a time of fasting, and the people would gather. And then those that were able to give would then use that opportunity to show off their giving. Look at, oh wow, Mr. So-and-so has gave all that money. Isn't that wonderful? And so they were looking for the attention of others and the accolades they would get from others. And that is all that they would get. It's what Christ says there in the second verse. They have received their reward in full. Their only reward was, wow, look at him. Wow, look at her. Wasn't that great? And how long do you think that really lasts? A couple days? Weeks? Very quickly it becomes a what have you done for me lately kind of thing. And so the next time there is the trumpet blast for a fast and that same person isn't giving quite as generously, people will look to them to do so, expect them to do so, assume that they will do so, and they don't. Now they look down upon them. Because they're the ones who raise themselves up. They have received their reward in full. Glory is fleeting, a phrase I'm not sure who coined that, but we're probably all familiar with it. Any kind of glory that just comes from people to us is momentary, does not last. So we want to get connected with the kind of glory and reward that does last, the kind that is from God. And that reward is that God sees what we do, and that is enough. That is all we really need. Verses 3 and 4 say, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. In secret. Words that came to mind there, discreet, simple, quiet, anonymous. I know that in our church, and in many churches, we have envelopes to give. And you can use those so what you give is very discreet. So that's what my dad told me when I was little. I said, Dad, why do we put the money in the envelope? He said, that way no one else knows what we're giving. It's between us and God. Okay, Dad, that sounds good. I get that. And there is another practical application for those who want to do so. There's nothing wrong with this, is to have record for taxes if you want to do that. Now, that should, of course, not be your primary motivation for giving, but it is something that our government provides, so we don't have to apologize for taking advantage of that. But it, as long as we have this attitude that, you know what, it's just between me and God. I don't have to have a parade. I don't have to have people patting me on the back. I don't have to have people saying, wow, look at him or her and all the good things they did, all the giving they've done. I know in my heart that God sees what I'm doing. God knows my heart and he knows why I did so. That in itself is the reward that Jesus is talking about here. It is that satisfaction in your heart of hearts from the Spirit of God that you're doing a good thing, that you're doing the right thing. Sure, once in a while it's good to be appreciated or noticed for different things, but that should never become the reason that we do it. And that's what Christ is getting to here. So in secret, don't let the one hand know what the other is doing. And your Father who sees, God knows what we give and why we give it. He will reward you. God's approval can't be bought. God isn't impressed by any amount of dollars, whether it be a few simple coins. That was another thing that my parents, they weren't insistent upon it. They didn't sort of watch over my shoulder to see if I did it. But as I got these pennies for allowance when I was little, they said, now you should put some of that into the offering. And to be very honest, I don't remember doing that very much, you know. But they would remind me from time to time. And one thing my dad would also do is he would put quarters out every Sunday morning on the kitchen table. And for each of the six siblings, to take, there was also a Sunday school class offering. And that was, we knew that was to take to Sunday school. And we always did. So the practice of giving was instilled in me. And I can honestly say about my dad, I one of the greatest blessings in my life is him. Continues to be. I'm so glad he's still here. He's still healthy. He's going to be 89 in a few months. And he's doing great. But he showed me a living example of humility in so many ways. And one of them was in how we should give to God, how we should give to those who are in need. So as we wrap this up this morning, these questions in your outline for your own time of prayer, for your own consideration. Am I overly concerned with what others think or might think about me? Certainly that question can apply to a whole variety of areas and expressions that we have and acts of righteousness in other ways. But specifically about giving, is it just a thing between me and God, or is it important to me that somehow others know that I'm doing this, that I'm giving a lot? Do I expect people to thank me, to notice what I give, or to be honored for it? Is knowing that God sees my giving all the reward that I need? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the means to give. We certainly are a nation that is blessed and a people within that nation that have a lot. And certainly in this room we have varying degrees of resources available to us financially. Some might be stretched, others have certain level of abundance. But regardless of where we're at, Lord God, and regardless of the amount we are able to give, may we be a people that give for the right reason. To honor you, to simply receive the reward that we know you see it, and that is enough. In your name, amen.